The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Hello, Ro. How are you doing today?
Hilton.
Rolene.
So nice to chat to you.
It is indeed. So, how are things going over there in Modi Inn? Has it the heat calmed down a little bit yet?
The heat has maybe calmed down by about 1 degree. It is very, 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 very hot, which is also probably what is keeping my brand new SIM card from arriving, because I know that people are trying to get hold of me in South Africa. I still don't have a new SIM, so I'm not on WhatsApp, so my apologies to anybody who's been trying to get a hold of me.
Oh, what a shunder.
So, total shunder.
So, 75 years since the round of French jury and Macron's speech, the commemoration thereof. What can you tell us?
Yesterday and today we've commemorated 75 years of the roundup of French jury by the French Vichy forces. They were then taken to the Velodrome d'Hiver, or what is known as the Val d'Hiver, and many of them then sent to Drancy and then sent to the Nazi death camps where a lot of French jury was murdered during the Holocaust. So yesterday Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was in Paris with President Emmanuel Macron to commemorate those awful days back in July in 1942. And the numbers we know are about more than 13,000 Jews were held at the Winter Stadium or Velodrome d'Hiver. They were imprisoned in there for in unsanitary conditions without water, without proper functioning ablutions, leading to dozens of fatalities and many by suicide. I actually would encourage, if you can, people to read the book Sarah's Key, which describes what happened to a family. It's I think it's a fictional book, but it explains this time in French history. And Macron spoke absolutely beautifully about France's duty to remember their role in rounding up the Jews in 1942. And he spoke about the fact that that anti-Zionism is the new anti-Semitism. And he said that, you know, with regards to recent incidents of anti-Semitism, which have resulted in the death of a few people, including Sarah Halimi, an ultra-Orthodox woman who the authorities said wasn't murdered because she was anti-Semitic. Macron actually said she was, and it's our fault because we did not want to see it. So huge, huge statements coming from Emmanuel Macron. He did reiterate the fact that he supports a two-state solution, but also it is so important that he made the speech yesterday because this comes very soon after the last French elections, where Marine Le Pen actually denied any French involvement in the rounding up Jews in July 1942. Macron said not a single German was involved. Those who wish to say that Vichy's France wasn't representative of the French nation because the Nazis knew they could count on the obedience of that government and thousands of Frenchmen serving it. And he also praised Frenchmen who saved Jews. So quite important statements. And another big important statement coming from Macron is when from Nathan Sharansky, who commented on the fact that Macron said the new anti-Semitism is anti-Zionism. Nathan Sharansky, who is a very, very famous human rights icon and the head of the Jewish Agency, said when one of the most important leaders in Europe recognizes that modern anti-Semitism frequently cloaks itself with the veil of anti-Zionism, tearing off the mask of the face of radical anti-Zionists, this is a highly significant development. And President Macron's remarks serve to further clarify the nature of modern anti-Semitism and facilitate efforts to combat it. And as you could well imagine, the French president's remarks were viewed extremely favorably by all of us in Israel.
You know, Macron made some very, very powerful statements, you know, both you could almost call it an outreach to French Jewry, and with anti-Zionism being the new anti-Semitism remarks. Do you think that this could actually lead to close relations between France and Israel?
I think it will. You know, I think that Macron has been a fascinating study in politics, at least so for me. And it's not just because of the romance that surrounds him, but he seems to be breaking every kind of rule. He very much does things the way he sees fit. He's extremely rational. He has a very rational view on the world. He doesn't tend to take sides. He's a huge supporter of Israeli tech and Israeli business, and I think really sees the value of increased relations. And I think he's very, very concerned about the status of French Jewry. I think he doesn't want France to lose her Jews. And, you know, it's very often said that you can tell a state of the country by the way it treats its Jews. So he has made many, many overtures towards the French Jewish community in terms of saying that they will do everything they can in their power to protect them, understanding that he has inherited a terrible mantle of a history of terror attacks, especially against the Jewish community in France. And this speech yesterday sent a resounding message, not just to the French people and to the Israeli people, but I think to the rest of Europe as well.
Very, very good to hear. Speaking of our so-called friends around the world, moving around the globe, looking at Jordan, they've apparently honored three of the terrorists responsible for Friday's terror attack. What's this all about?
Well, I don't even know where to begin with this, because Friday, and I reported, did my report on the Morning Mayhem with Kathy and Howard Saxteen, two Druze Israeli policemen were murdered on the Temple Mount. We now then know them to be Sergeant Major General Ha'el Stawi, he was 30 years old, and Lieutenant Colonel Camille Shannan, who was 22 years old, on Jerusalem's Temple Mount. And this has been a terrible tragedy for Israel. You know, what many people don't know is that the Jews and the Druze, we consider each other to share what we call an eternal covenant, a covenant of blood, a real brotherhood, and some of our finest protectors and patriots come from the Druze community. And in the Jordanian parliament yesterday, the parliament speaker said that the terrorists' families deserve to receive glory and honor, and may the mercy of Allah be upon their martyrs who sowed and watered the pure land, and especially on the members of the Jabarin family, a family whose two of the terrorists who came from Umm al-Fahm belonged to this family. They deserve to receive glory and honor. And actually, in fact, all of the terrorists came from this clan. We have Ahmed Muhammad Jabarin, Muhammad Hamad Abdel Latif Jabarin, and Muhammad Ahmed Mafdal Jabarin. Two of them were 19 years old. And Taraneh, the speaker in Jordanian parliament, went on to say, "We will raise our heads through the sacrifice of the young Palestinians who are still fighting in the name of the nation." And what this has spurred on is certain members of Jordanian society to actually call for a breaking of the peace deal between Israel and Jordan. And of course, Friday's terror attack has led to increased security at the Temple Mount, including now metal detectors. The Temple Mount was closed for worship for most of Friday and parts of Saturday. It is now open, and we have installed metal detectors.
Okay, now on that, I've got one or two questions. First of all, after these inflammatory remarks in the Jordanian parliament, has Israel responded to that at all?
I don't think Israel has responded. I certainly haven't seen any kind of formal response. I don't think that they're going to, in light of the fact that we do have a peace with Jordan, give oxygen to those kind of remarks.
Fair enough. And then, you know, once again, moving over to the new security measures at the Temple Mount with these new metal detectors being put up, I've actually seen a couple of reports that the Waqf has pretty much gone on strike because of that.
Well, the situation is, as we've seen it now, we have actually four Druze police injured. In fact, one of the terrorists was shot and managed to get up and shoot and kill one of our police officers. And the reality is that we've had a terror attack. And for the safety of the other worshippers who would like to worship in peace and in safety, we have installed metal detectors. Because the big question on Friday after this terror attack was, how did they get their weapons there?
Fair enough. Ro, we've got a question from one of our listeners, which I think is quite important, sure. And I think that you can answer this very eloquently.
I will certainly try my best.
So they say they're a non-Jewish listener, and they don't understand the difference between anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist. Can you assist?
Ooh, of course I can assist. Okay, so why many people say, well, I'm not anti-Semitic. You know, I love Jews, gefilte fish, mazel tov, and some of my best friends are Jewish. I am anti-Zionist. Now, for us as Jews, for most of us, I'd say the majority of us, except for a handful, we see Zionism as our national liberation movement, our call, our return to our ancient homeland with Jerusalem as our capital, our right to organize ourselves politically. And when you say that Jews or don't have a right to do that, or you attack the symbol of the Jews, which is the state of Israel, or you say that we have no right to organize ourselves politically, then that effectively is anti-Semitic. I mean, even Martin Luther King, the great human rights icon, he also said, when you're speaking about Zionists, you're speaking about Jews. Now, having said that, not all Zionists are Jewish. We have many, many non-Jewish Zionist supporters, many in the Christian community, many in the Muslim community, and yes, we do have them, who believe that Jews have a right to a homeland in their ancient homeland, the land of Israel. They have a right to the state of Israel in the land of Israel, and that is called Zionism. And I hope for the listener who asked such an intelligent question, and I love this question, I've answered it as succinctly as possible.
Great. Thanks so much. Now I've got another question for you. Is the UAE behind Qatari government hacks?
Are they? It seems to be that they are found or rumored to be guilty of the hacking of a Qatari government news site and planting false stories, which were kind of used as almost a pretext for the current crisis between Qatar and the Arab countries. We know Saudi, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Egypt, Jordan, Yemen, and a few others who are now have broken formal diplomatic ties between themselves and Qatar. Also, because rumor has it that the posts that were posted on the site were that A, Qatar is enjoying a very, very strong relationship with Iran. Iran, we know, is a major concern for the whole region, not just for Israel, but also the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And the other thing they posted was, drumroll please, Qatar loves Israel. Qatar enjoys good relations with Israel. So this came under review, and it seems to be that the Emirati embassy in Washington have released a statement saying that it is false news and that the UAE had no role whatsoever in the alleged hacking. But some are saying that it was indeed the UAE. So watch the space. I think we've got another Russia-America hacking incident. I think 2017 for me is turning out to be Hackergate. I don't know about you, Hilton.
Definitely. People are definitely crunching numbers out there. And another story that's gotten me really jealous is Guns N' Roses rocks Israel.
Did they rock Israel or did they rock Israel? I mean, they came here in the muggy 4 trillion degree heat and they performed for 3 hours.
Wow.
They performed like all of their greatest hits to me. Slash hasn't aged a bit. They certainly had Tel Aviv rocking. I think the only concern for me is that Axl Rose looks like he has been a little bit too much with the filler.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my own personal opinion. But yeah, they really came to the Paradise City, rocked us big time, and the summer of love is just continuing. I mean, no sooner have Guns N' Roses finished, but that we are set to welcome Radiohead very soon. I see that Radiohead have been extremely vocal against Roger Waters and the BDS movement and Ken Loach. And now we have Michael Stipe, the former frontman of REM. He is supporting Radiohead. So you see, not just the smart people support Israel Hilton, the cool people support Israel.
What more can everyone should be supporting Israel?
Exactly, exactly. A news broke at the end of last week that we'll be welcoming Chrissy Hyde and the Pretenders to Israel. So if you enjoy good rock music or a throwback to your youth like myself, get yourselves over to Israel and come and rock with us for the rest of the summer.
Absolutely amazing. You know, the best of the best seems to be going to the promised land.
Exactly. And I must say they're extremely brave because it is hot right now and only going to get hotter. But I think it's just because we seem to be the hottest place to be.
As always. Well, Ro, on that note, I'm going to say thank you so, so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Your Israel report has been in-depth and enlightening as always. And I can't wait to speak to you again tomorrow.
Hilton, the check is in the mail, and when you speak so lovely, how could I not be here tomorrow to chat to you?
Oh, thanks, Ro. Something to look forward to.